An opportunity to judge. The newsmen participating on the panel tonight were Mary Casey of the Halifax Chronicle Herald, Bill Curtis of CBC Television News, Ian Donaldson of Canadian Press, and Ron Slade of the CHNS News Department. Your chairman was Lloyd McGinnis.
Coal-fired boilers and the kettle-on-top-of-the-stove variety, to mention a few of the more commonplace. I well recall one gas geyser which erupted into flame for me one morning in May, after years of its disuse by a certain formidable Mrs. B. She was an eccentric old woman who told me she could never take a bath because just the sight of all that water around her would make her quite seasick. I'll never forget the day I first had a bath in her house. To get enough gas to heat the water, you had to feed 2 shillings into the gas meter. The meter lay in the back of a cupboard, and it stood behind stacks of old mirrors, pictures of Highland stags at bay, army haversacks, deck chairs and geranium pots, and a thick pall of dust. The meter hadn't been used for years, due, I suppose, to my landlady's delicate, seasick stomach. Then I, dirty and very washable, moved into the small upstairs back bedroom for $5 a week. After moving my goods and chattels into my new lodgings, I said to the estimable Mrs. B. that I should like to have a bath. She led me to the cupboard and pointed to the mound of bric-a-brac. The gas meter was somewhere behind it all, she told me, and it was then that she mentioned the seasickness to explain away the layers of dust. I assumed a confident air, placed 2 shillings in the meter, lit a match, and bent towards the gas jet. About 5 seconds later, there was a great flash, and I picked myself up from my spread-eagle position against the wall, dusted myself down, and took off the picture frame I was suddenly wearing. And very shakily, I went to the bathroom to scrub off the dust of the explosion. The most aggravating water heater was the sixpence in the slot electric type, which provided barely enough water to wet your ankles before the supply ran out. And then there was the old family retainer type of landlady who used to heat 4 pans and pots on the gas stove and then announce with a subdued air of refinement, "I've drawn the bath water, my dear." Recently, I had the opportunity and the need to sit once more in a British bathtub and study the marvellous intricacies of British plumbing. My need for this particular bath began in Nova Scotia, where I boarded a little tramp ship at Hantsport to sail across the North Atlantic last February. During the time she spent in port, the ship's pipes froze, so on the day we sailed for Britain, the captain asked me if I would be good enough to please wash only once a day. The frozen pipes had burst, and half the fresh water supply was lost. So as soon as I reached home in England, I laid claim to the bathtub. Now, one of the first things that strikes a visitor to the old country is the traditional building of houses within an outer network of waste, drain, overflow, and supply pipes. They're designed that way by plumbers, who are rarely out of work in Britain. If you run cold pipes as close as possible to draughty eaves, they're almost certain to freeze, and that's very good for business, if you're a plumber. And that's the way they do it. Our home in England is little different from the others around it. Pipes cling like ivy on the wall, but the house is kept warmer than most. Consequently, during the past severe winter, they escaped the misery of burst pipes. Now, this was achieved by a devilishly clever plan, the dexterous turning off of the rising main cold water pipe every night, and by draining the cold water storage tank upstairs in the cockloft. A cockloft is really an attic, but not usable for anything. There are no floorboards laid down, just rafters with the plaster of the bedroom and bathroom ceilings between. There was a great deal of laying fires and switching on of immersion heaters half an hour or so before I entered the bathroom. Despite a large electric fire, ice patterns lay like glazed ferns on the window panes, and the bathroom felt as cold as a refrigerator. I turned on the hot water tap. A thin stream of water spurted out. It felt very hot when tested with a chilly forefinger. I turned on a little cold water so I could bare my feet in it, and stepped in, sat down, and reached with my right big toe for the hot water tap to turn it on again. There was about 3 inches of water lying around me at the time. Steam billowed upwards like Halifax Harbour on a zero cold day. the steam reached the level of the closed ventilator and then shot off in a horizontal direction, blown by the breeze that streamed in through the edges of the ventilator frame. The hot water tap was turned on, but suddenly it stopped pouring water. It just went... The water in the tub began to chill quickly. I looked round to see why. Opposite to me was the opening of the overflow pipe. A wind was whipping in through it, straight from the east. Now the coldest wind that blows in Britain is the east wind. It rises in the Urals of Asia, gusts across the Russian steppes, cuts through the mountains of Norway and over the North Sea. And if you ever sat in our bathtub on a winter's day, you would swear it blew straight in the overflow pipe in our bathroom. I hung a layer of face flannels over the pipe hole and drew up my knees so I wouldn't get a chill on my stomach. The hot water tap still went... Something's happened to the hot water, I called downstairs. Someone had forgotten to turn on the rising main, and I was told that I was the victim of an airlock. I was told by the incurable optimist on the other side of the bathroom door to leave the tap on. Everything would be all right in time. There was a rap at the bathroom door, and a chapped hand and arm came snaking round the doorway. I've brought this for you. It's nice and hot. Now don't burn yourself on it. It was a pot of tea. I wondered if I was meant to drink it or pour it in the bath to heat up the water. I was dithering, so I drank it quickly and looked at my knees. They were turning blue with the east wind that still found its way in through the overflow pipe and the face flannels. The pipe had been there for a couple of generations, and everyone who sat in that tub suffered the same each winter, but nothing had ever been done about it. It was very character-forming, but I was in no mood to be formed, so I gave up and got out and arranged to try again the following morning. Next day, the weather was much warmer, but still feeling like a Spartan, I settled in the bathroom. This time, the mains were turned on, everything was flowing, and there were no airlocks. No sooner had I got settled than there was a loud knocking at the front door. There was some good-natured rollicking in the hall and the sound of boots tramping up the staircase. It was the entry of three British workmen. "You got some pipes you want lagging, missus?" I heard the foreman ask. "We've come to lag your pipes." Now, lagging is done to protect the pipes from the cold in winter. The men had been asked to come 3 months previously, before winter had set in. But still, they were not deterred, and they clambered up their ladder into the cockloft to lag the pipes for the summer season. I could hear them scuttling overhead as I lay back, relaxed at last in hot water. Several minutes later, looking upwards, I could see a crack in the ceiling which hadn't been there before. Suddenly, a size 10 British workman's boot pierced the ceiling. Plaster, cement, and rubble crashed into the bathtub. I leapt out. The man upstairs swore, and his unpolished boot disappeared back into the cockloft. There was another shower of plaster and a lot of swearing going on, both upstairs and downstairs. Footsteps came crunching down the ladder from the cockloft. Bert, the foreman, asked if Bill was all right, and Bill said he was. "Well, missus, the pipes are lagged," said Bert, the foreman. "Sorry about the hole in the ceiling, but don't you worry. We'll get a plasterer to come along as soon as possible. He should be here in a day or two." Well, so far, the plasterer hasn't been, and I know when he will come. It'll be 10 minutes after I step into the next hot bath.